out in Jesus' name because of the amazing love that you have within us. We have that love in us. So we thank you for that tonight, Jesus. No matter what we're facing, God, your love conquers everything. Your love, God, your precious love, Jesus, we love you so much because you first loved us, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You love him tonight, church? He sure loves us so much. I could just feel his love. No matter what you're facing tonight, he loves you with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Isn't it good to worship together? It is awesome. Amen. And it's good to be thankful. Today, you know, I was just thinking, aren't you thankful to the Lord? I was thinking today of a time frame years ago where things weren't going so good. And I just, that old feeling and what the, that old feeling of what that felt like, just kind of, I felt that for a minute. And then I thought, Lord, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. And just started thanking him. You know, even if you're in your struggles, you can, you know, think back, look back, and remind yourself of the things that he's brought you through, that he set you free from, that he is, that he's overcome in your life. Amen? And so even David, remember David when I'm not sure that band came and stole, not only stole all their items, everything that they owned, but their women and children. And then they were talking about stoning him, his bandit of guys. Remember all the ones that were in trouble, the ones that were in debt. You know, remember that clan that he had with him. So they're like, hey, I think this is David's fault. Isn't that amazing? And what happened is it said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Wow. He encouraged. See, when he was younger, it was like Jonathan that used to encourage him in the Lord. Well, and then Jonathan wasn't around at that time, and he had to learn to encourage himself in the Lord. Man, that is very important. And so having that little, just for a minute, that old feeling of despair, would say, man, it was a reminder that I'm not even there at all. Not even a little bit. And in some of the struggles we have today, saints, is, you know, some of those struggles is because we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to grow in his power and his grace. So realize that if you're learning to ride a bike, can that be a struggle? Learning to drive a car can be a struggle. Learning to drive a semi, right? I did that a couple times. That was a real struggle. And so you think, as we're growing in him, from going from glory to glory, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, there's some struggles there, because who's coming against us? Satan, amen? But what a wonderful opportunity to grow. What a wonderful opportunity to the power of God that is within you and I to be an overcomer in our lives, in our family's lives, amen? Or whatever we're facing. So don't allow yourself to despair, saying, Lord, I'm going to grow through this. And sometimes when we're like, man, I'm failing, that's the time, Lord, we just lean in on your grace and your strength and your power. I can't believe it. As I continue to grow in his grace, I want to learn more about his grace. And so it feels like sometimes when I'm preaching it comes out foolish, because it has to be caught. It can't be taught. But I know the Holy Spirit's doing his part and teaching us all the things about grace, that unmerited favor, that things that helps us to grow in him, even though we're still human beings, right? In a fallen world. So, you know, it's not me that has struggled. It's all of you, right? No. All of us. Hopefully you don't think like that, but we've all thought like that before, to be honest. All of us are in the same place as far as continuing to grow in Him. And you are growing in Him, or you wouldn't be here tonight, or Monday night men's Bible study, or Wednesday morning's women, or whatever you're at where you're with other believers. That's also part of the growing process. Amen? So we are in the book of John. We're in session 22 of the book of John, in chapter 4. And I'm just praying, Lord, that even though we're going line upon line, you know, this is where we get meat. Lord, we thank you for the meat of the Word of God. Amen? So we thank you, Lord, that tonight we're not serving milk. Sorry, guys. We're serving meat. So we thank you for the meat of the Word of God that nourishes our soul, comes forth as revelation from our spirit man, amen, renews our mind. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One thing I noticed I picked up, which I'm not going to say it's a bad habit, but I picked up something from Pastor Lee that I start out praying and then end up preaching and then end it in prayer, and people are like, well, what did we just do? So I'll be praying at the dinner table with my mom. She says, was that a prayer? Because it just sounds... I don't know, Mom, what it was, but it felt good. Amen. So John chapter 4, verse 29. We've been dealing with the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? And so we know, just a reminder. So Jesus starts out in Judea, right, in Judea, and he goes up through, he's going to Galilee, and he has to go through Samaria. And so he just happens to stop at this well. His disciples go into town to get food, right, and the Samaritan woman comes to the well, and then Jesus has this interaction with her. And so he says, give me a drink. He says, well, you don't have your bucket to dip in the well. And he says, then he goes into this, I have what, water. I have a drink. I have something that will satisfy you where you'll never thirst again, right? And then he starts saying, hey, go get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He says, well, you answered right. You're not lying to me. And then he says, you've had five. And the gentleman you're with right now, you're not married to. And so he starts basically telling her about her life. And it's interesting. Well, let me read verse 29 first before I go there. Because verse 29 of John chapter 4 says, come see a man. So she goes into town. She's excited, right? The things that Jesus had mentioned to her about her life. And so it says, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is he? Verse 30, they left the city and were coming to him. So she goes and says, hey, you got to see this man. And she was excited. It's interesting because we're going to kind of put this against another individual, another story in the Bible, and kind of look at the different contrast of a different story of God's interaction or Jesus' interaction with somebody else. But I have a point here, a few points that says she was excited about Jesus telling her about all the things that she had done. And she could have been ashamed about her past. Notice that he, at least what's written in the Bible, he wasn't saying, hey, you finished high school and you've got a degree in this and you've got a doctorate in this and all these good things. He's telling her about all the struggles, basically about all the failures in her life, yet she doesn't get upset about it. Because she knows that she's met a man, something within her heart, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, the way he is exposing me here, I can feel safe around this guy that I've never met. See, I find it interesting that she's like, what? She could have got freaked out. Are you into voodoo? What's your deal? Are you some kind of false prophet? So talking about all her basically dirty laundry and her being excited about it, because, you know, within every person, really, at the heart of man is to be forgiven, to get rid of a load, a heavy burden and a load of sin. And people that never come to Christ or harden their heart against the Lord Jesus, or they know the Lord but through circumstances will allow their hearts to be deceived or hardened, they have this load upon them in their hearts, on their shoulders. Would Jesus say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? So somehow when she's speaking to her, Jesus, she say, man, this man can unload my burdens. And I'm telling you, when we speak to people about Jesus Christ, we got to make sure that it comes across that he is the one that can unload your burdens. We can't do it in a condemning way, because people want to do that. Like, I've got to show you your sin. No, he wants to unload your burden. So even as Jesus is exposing all her failures and weaknesses, she knows, this guy can unload my burdens. I can tell you can come to Jesus with anything you're struggling with. He is there to take that burden, even in the middle of failure. Amen. Amen, that's good news. You know, she could have been, number two, she could have just become defensive along the same line. And that's what I love about Jesus Christ. No matter what we're going through, we do not have to be defensive with him. He's not like the ex-boyfriend. He's not like the ex-husband. He's not like a mother or father. Man, he's a good, good father. And so many times people will compare him to past experiences in their lives that they've had with people, and they can't help it because of the condition of the heart that they become defenseful. Father, through the grace of God, knowing that we can let down every wall, that you love us and we can let you in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was talking to a church. I stand at the door knocking. If you'll let me in, the Father in, boy, we want to come in and we want to dine with you. We want to fellowship with you. We want to feed you. We want to nourish you. We want to strengthen you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what he was doing with this woman at the well. So what was the difference between this woman and as an example, the rich young ruler? Because as I started thinking about this story, I thought, man, this is kind of odd, Lord. The way he's just putting it right out there and she's accepting it. Her heart was ready. Her heart was knowing that, man, this man can unburden my soul. And then I think about, real quick, to in contrast, the rich young ruler. You know, in Matthew 19, 16. Let's read a little bit of that, because it's such a different conversation. Now, behold, one came and said to him, in Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Now, behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And so he said to him, this is Jesus, why do you call me good? Isn't it interesting that he gives him a compliment? In that statement, of, we know Jesus is perfect. That he could, like he told the woman at will, I am he. I am the one that you've been waiting for. Go tell your friends. And then this one, he says differently. He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Did he have that same conversation with the woman at the well? Did he start going into the commandments? He did not. Isn't it interesting, first off, is he tries to give Jesus a compliment, and Jesus, with his response, deflects that. He really did. He didn't say to the rich young ruler, you're right, if you knew who I was, I'm more than good. I am he, like the one at the well. I am he who has promised to come. But he says, no, there's no one good but God. This individual coming to Jesus, basically trying to butter him up, trying to get a result, an answer that he desperately wanted to hear, that he wanted to hear. And as we go on, we're going to see, you know what? The law can't justify you. The law can't take the burden from sin. The law can't take that thing inside of you that makes you feel guilty, your conscience. The law cannot do that. But what does Jesus do anyway? In verse 18. So he says, keep the commandments, right? Let me say this. Can I stop real quick? I'm sorry. I don't mean to confuse you. You know, when you read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you got to be really careful Because that is in a different dispensation. What do I mean by different dispensation? Had Jesus died yet? Had he rose from the grave? Had the Holy Spirit been given? No, had the heir of grace come? Had the heir of the Gentiles come yet? No, a matter of fact, it was after the Holy Spirit was on the day of Pentecost. It was approximately 5 years, they say, until Peter had, remember when he had that vision, and he had that, what was it, a sheet or I can't remember, come down, and he heard a voice. He saw different animals that weren't clean for Jews to eat, and Paul heard, kill and eat, and he said, never. Remember, all of that was because then these gentlemen came to him and said, hey, there's somebody, somebody's had a vision and they want to see you. So I forget the name of the gentleman. I used to know it. I should know it. But anyway, that's where he went, and Peter preached to a group of Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit fell. That was like 5 years after the Holy Spirit fell on that day of Pentecost. So what I'm saying is during this time, as you read scriptures, you could read this, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments, you could take that and start preaching that and have a gospel that is not in the gospel of grace under what Paul preached to the Gentile. It says in 2 Timothy, it says that that says he's telling Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. Know where to divide this, what it means, what is meant for today? What is for the time of the Jews? What is under the old covenant? Because there's other things. Look at what John the Baptist said. When John the Baptist preached to all the Jews that came to him, as I ramble a little bit, he would say, you need to repent. And they said, what shall we do? And he said, if you got two coats, give one to somebody else. Don't steal. Be happy with happy with the wages that you receive. And that's what he's saying. But if you were preaching the gospel, all those things are true. That's not how you would preach the gospel. The just shall live by faith. And then God changing a heart, because it says in Hebrews that he would put his spirit within you and write his laws upon your heart. And then the Holy Spirit working within you, then you would work those things out. We would never start out by saying, okay, let's get you baptized. Do you have an extra coat? And have you been cheating anybody? So my point is, and I'm not trying to be cute or funny or arrogant in any way, shape, or form. We've got to be careful when we're reading those four gospels. Is it for now? Does it mean that we use this now? I'll give you another example. Remember when there was the woman that was a Gentile, and was it she had a daughter that was demon-possessed? And God said, and Jesus said, I wasn't sent to the dogs. Remember that? So you could read that and say, my gosh, I'm a dog. Seriously. I'm a second-class citizen. I'm telling you, Jesus came, and when he came, he was preaching to the Jews. That's why he was preaching only in, he wasn't even much even speaking truth. He was speaking to them in parables. And it said he didn't speak unless he spoke to them in parables. Because, see, the truth really couldn't be released then. Jesus hadn't died for the sins of the world. He couldn't tell them things that were truth because it might harden their heart. So he's waiting until the release of the Holy Spirit. Another example is, if you don't forgive somebody, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Now, I'm not saying that you don't want to forgive people. Having unforgiveness can destroy your life. But under Paul says, forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. See, there's been people that have had awful things happen to them, and we want to preach that you better forgive them right now. Well, you know, sometimes forgiving people and things that happen to you might take some time. It may take a lot of work from the Holy Spirit and a lot of work with other brothers and sisters for you to forgive somebody. Then we want to come out and say, God's not going to forgive you until you forgive them. They spend a lifetime thinking, I wish I could earn God's forgiveness. Anymore. I mean, there's example after example. We can take the word. That's why we're in John. It's a wonderful word. It's powerful. It's the word of God. But we have to be very careful. Is that under the dispensation of grace? How about take your eye and pluck it out? I should be blind by now. How about you? If your hand offends you, Cut it off. I'm telling you, he says, if you commit adultery, yes, that's a sin. But if you even have the thought, you've already committed adultery. So when you think about that, when everything that Jesus laid out, by the time he had given up his life, nobody had a chance to follow the law. It was only by grace. And once we realize grace and the grace of God working in our lives, where we can walk around day to day, all day long, feeling comfortable in our own skins, knowing that we are fully accepted and loved by him, even as we're trying to work through all the messes, little messes or big messes in our life. Hallelujah! Oh, he's good, amen? So this guy comes, hey, good teacher, I need you to give me some good answers. I need you to tell me what I want to hear. So he said to him, to Jesus in verse 18, he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? What do I need to do, man? I've been a good boy. I've been doing my very best. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Wow. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The young ruler was still justified. I said the young ruler was self-justified already when he approached Jesus. See, don't we have the covenant of God blessing and making you wealthy and rich? Right, in the old covenant? Have you read, is it Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 28? I thought I knew I'd get there. So Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings and curses. So does that mean that you can't have money? See, there was a time I would read that and say, man, God, I want to sell out for you. So how am I going to do this? I've got to sell everything. I'm not kidding. I got to sell everything. And I got to come follow you. So where's that going to be? And I can't have any money, because then that would be means that I love money and that I'm following money. No, Jesus was showing us something here with this man. Idolatry. He was held his position. He loved the position. Going to good teacher. I need you to affirm my self position. I need you to tell me what I think I already know. Because did he tell the Samaritan woman to sell everything you have and come follow me? You know, how about the guy that he cast all the legion of demons out of? And that guy wanted to follow Jesus and said, no, go back and tell others, tell the people in your town where you come from what God has done for you. See, it was an issue with this young man's heart of prestige and where he was at and self-justification that Jesus said this to him, the young ruler. Luke 16:13 says, no servant, but this is true, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in wealth. You can't. But I've said it before here, you don't have to have money or to be wealthy to be a lover of money. Many people don't have a lot of money that love money, that pursue money, that dream about money, to think, if I just had this, I would be happy. They don't have a relationship with the Lord, so they're only pursuing things in their own vain imagination, their own dream world. If I just had these things, then I certainly would be happy. You cannot serve God and money. In other words, you can't serve God and be a friend with this world, meaning, Lord, I'm going to get everything I have in this world. I'm going to pursue this world, and God, come along with me. Come along with me. Does that make sense? Luke 16:14-15 says, now the Pharisees, that we're talking about the religious leaders now. So we're finishing up on this rich young ruler and kind of his mindset and why God said what he did to the rich young ruler, but seems to let a sinful woman who's not even a Jew, to seem to get off scot-free. He was displaying grace to her that haven't even been shed by his blood yet. He really was. He didn't say one time about the law to her. Did you notice that? He was saying, I am here to unload your burden. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, did you hear that, the Pharisees? Wouldn't you know it? Were listening to all these things and were ridiculing him, Jesus. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves. And this is what this young man was doing. You are the ones who justify yourself in the sight of people. But God knows your hearts. Because that which is highly esteemed among people is detestable in the sight of God. You think about what trends on Twitter. I'll see what trends on Twitter. And a lot of times it's stuff that is totally anti-God. Totally would grieves God in his heart for people. So he's saying, he's saying the things that man esteems. Man esteems what? Their self-righteousness. Look at me. I'm okay. I follow these rules. But Jesus getting to the core of it, sell everything you have and come follow me. And he said, no, I won't do that. You know, because greed amounts really in America today, we don't have like idols that we go and you don't see people going and bowing down and worshiping idols. We don't see idol temples, right? We don't see that anymore. But does idolatry still exist? Oh, yeah. Idolatry still exists. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So basically at that time, what Jesus was saying to that young man is, you haven't been following the whole law. I'm sorry. Basically, after he rose from the dead and under the dispensation of grace, we know much more about walking in his grace. But what Jesus basically was saying to this young ruler was, no, you don't have them all down. You're actually walking in idolatry, this love of money. So meanwhile, let's continue on. Are you still with me? Amen. Line upon line. So 31, it says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat something. Right? So they know he hasn't eaten in a while. We don't know all those details, but we know by them urging him to eat that it's probably been days since Jesus has eaten. So they're urging him, man, you need to eat something, Jesus. You need to eat something. In verse 32, but he said to them, Jesus, I have food to eat that you do not know about. You know, Matthew 4:3-4, when Jesus was quoting the word of God to the tempter, to Satan. And the tempter, isn't it funny, he called him the tempter. And the tempter came and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, that's what makes you and I different from the world. Of course, we make a living. That's good. You got to do that. It's okay, huh? Paul says, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. And so we got to take care of our families. It's okay to make good money. It's okay to bless others. Amen. I pray that all of you make a lot more money. If you can handle it, amen. If you have the discipline to handle it, right? Make a lot more money. And then next thing we're like, well, where did that person go? We don't see them anymore. They've got a boat and a yacht and they're gone. So I pray that God would bless you abundantly. That's not what I'm saying at all, amen. But he was saying the difference between that, the world and you and I, amen, is knowing that this world is not our home. This world does not have the best interests of our Father, amen. We know what Jesus says as he was given that prayer says, Lord, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So yours and my goal is, Lord, is may your will be done on this earth, as it is in heaven. And Lord, what part do I have to play in that? Lord, what's my part in playing that? Lord, what have you placed within me that I can do that to have heaven on this earth? We know in the world, I don't know how they do it. You just die and you're done. You have your 60, 70, 80, 90 years. You get all you can, amen, and then that's it. But you and I knowing that it's just the beginning, amen? So living a life where, Lord, this is just the beginning. Death is just a doorway into being in your presence. So living a life knowing, which one of my favorite scriptures is, everything I can see is temporal, and everything I cannot see is eternal. So you and I live a world, in this world, knowing that everything we see is temporal. One day, you can see it in your mind, saints, all of this will burn away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And even Paul saying, all these light afflictions mean nothing to the glory of God that's going to be revealed in us. Amen? The believer has provision the world knows nothing about. Did you know that? You and I don't live by bread alone, do you? And if you think about it, within us is something, a desire to do what God wants us to do. There's a measure of faith that's actually, you know, as I've read it and studied, this measure of faith that you and I have, that it says everybody has, every believer has, that measure of faith is not fairy dust. We know that, right? That's not a little thinking of something on TV or cartoon. No, what's in you, what that measure of faith is it's built in there with the giftings and the abilities and the things that God placed within you. See, I don't have the faith to do what you can do. You don't have the faith to do what I can do, but you have your measure of faith to do exactly what God would have you to do. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I love the scriptures where Jesus has said, my Father sees when a bird dies. He knows every creature. Does he not care so much more for you? And one thing I've learned as I have pursued God and different things, that he takes care of my needs. Amen. He's going to take care of my needs. I'm much more satisfied when I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to do as I still take care of my family than when I was just focusing on taking care of my family. Such more of a satisfaction. Can you stand up with me this evening, saints, for a minute? I want to read that because I actually have it in Matthew 6, 31 and 34. See, it says, do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Amen? It doesn't matter what's going on with the economy. What's going on with other things in this world. He knows all of our needs, amen? It says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, amen? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Did you know that's a promise in the Word? So much the things that we worry about, we can't change. A lot of times it has to do with this stuff that I just read about, doesn't it? But Lord, it says, do not worry about tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. There's our instruction from the Lord tonight. Seriously, that's our instruction from the Lord tonight. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just today, Lord, if we could have that, just knowing that even where you had gone to that woman at the well and you blessed her, met her need, took that load off of her back. And the guy that seemed to have everything, that wanted to be self-justified, said that he left. He left gloomy. We have the woman at the well that's rushing into the city saying, come see a guy that told me everything about me. He gave me all my dirty laundry. He went through my sock drawer. And I just can't wait to talk to this guy again. Because I can tell he's going to take a load off of my back. With this other guy, he leaves, following all these commandments. I'm doing my best. I'm really pursuing this world. Yet he leaves with the weight of the world on his shoulders. Amen. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, saints, can we lift our hands if you can? Say, Lord, I cast my cares upon you. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, just a touch of your Holy Spirit in my life, Father God, as I believe by faith, this measure of faith that you put in my life. So, Father, I give my cares to you, Father, cares regarding families in the name of Jesus, give them to the Father. Cares about jobs and things tomorrow, Father, we give those cares to you. Every little thing that is going on in our lives, Father, we cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And Father, we thank you for that. So Father, we thank you for anxiety. Father, we declare and command anxiety to be driven from our bodies, from our minds, from our souls in the name of Jesus, Father God. And we receive, saints, the peace of God that transcends all understanding, Father God, that the world can't understand. Father, we thank you for that peace right now. Oh, Father, how we love you. Jesus, how we love you. And we praise you and we thank you for the peace of God, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit peace. We thank you for the peace that comes through your divine touch of your Holy Spirit, Father God. And we cast our cares upon you. Lord, as your word says that you love us, that you care for us, that if we'll just keep our hearts and mind upon you, that you will meet all our needs. And so we thank you for that, God. And it says in Proverbs 3, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Some of the evil is just worry. It allows the enemy to speak into our lives. It allows the enemy to harass us. It allows anxiety to take root in our souls. And Father, we just command anxiety to go in Jesus' name. And to trust in your love. To trust in your love, Father God, because it says that perfect love casteth out fear. And so we just receive of that tonight. Can we just take a second, Father, just bless, just praise him, Father, in the name of Jesus. Just worship you. Babaraka shoto babaraka kondo babarikiaro shoto babariki roshondo babarikiata babaraka sholo mamaraka shoto babariki urondo babarikiando roko shoto babaraka shata babaraka shala mamariki ropo babaraka shala mamaraka shala mamaraka babarikiaro ta babariki roshoto babaraka shala mamariki. If you're a person that thinks there's still a stain on your soul from the past, that is a lie of hell. That's the enemy. He has washed you as white as snow. Do not allow the enemy to speak in your heart and your mind that there's still a stain on your soul. If you have put your trust in the blood of Jesus and allowed his blood to wash you as white as, though you be like scarlet, you'll be as white as snow, and you allow his Holy Spirit to minister you, you do not have a stain on your life. The past is the past. As far as it from the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, and we receive of that, and we declare that tonight in the name of Jesus. And I command that lying spirit in that situation to shut its mouth in Jesus' name. You have no right. That individual belongs to God. That individual is the temple of God, and your presence dwells in the temple of God in each individual. We thank you, Father, for our souls being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of God tonight, by your presence tonight, Lord. We thank you for washing and cleansing us with the blood of the Lamb. We thank you that there's no mistake in the past that he cannot wash away. You think of this woman in the well, all the mistakes she made, but knowing when she talked to Jesus, I've got to tell everybody about a guy that is unloading my soul. He's forgiving me. He knows everything about me. But yet he's given me living water. So tonight, Lord, we thank you for the living water of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the living water of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Father, in our lives. So we just receive from you, Father God, to be a fountain to life to others. And we just thank you. We praise you, Father God. We thank you, Father, that you are enough. So we thank you for that tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. In the name of Jesus, the only true God. In the name of Jesus, the only way, the only truth, the only door. Father, we know that you stand at the door. We remind ourselves that you're always in our heart, always standing at the door of our heart saying, I have more for you. Don't be satisfied for where you're at. I have more for you. And so, Father, we're those of a people that are not satisfied where we're at by any means. And we thank you for more, Father God. More direction in our lives, Father God. More strength. More vision. And so we honor you and bless you, Father. We thank you for our children, blessing our children, grandchildren, parents, nephews and nieces, all that pertains to you, all those things that care, that all those worries and cares, Lord, we put that on you because it says you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's saints said, amen.